Okay, now it's on.
Please call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, November 10th, 2016. First item of business is to approve tonight's agenda. Do I have a motion?
So.
And a second?
Second.
So I have a motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Commissioner Miller. Any comments or changes to tonight's agenda? Mr. McCarty, do you have any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yeah, we're going to be taking the cottage one off the agenda. We didn't have the amendments prepared for you guys for introduction.
Okay.
That's why I'm here, Mike.
All right. So, all those in favor of approving the amended agenda, say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Next item of business is to approve the minutes for the October 20th, 2016 Planning Commission meeting. Do I have a motion?
So.
And a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Commissioner Von Trapp. Any comments, changes? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes for October 20th, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The minutes are approved unanimous. Next item of business is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will move on to agenda item number 4, which is the introduction and Planning Commission deliberation on the updates to the parks element of the comprehensive plan. Commissioner McCarty.
This is a fairly simple one. So we've got our parks comprehensive plan, and within the parks comprehensive plan, we have our 20-year capital improvements plan, which describes all of the improvements that we can envision doing in the next 20 years. And then we have our 6-year capital improvements plan, which describes what we anticipate doing just within that short 6-year time frame and kind of prescribes some funding in association with that. For projects on the 6-year plan, we can fund those projects out of park impact fee revenue. So if we want to use that park impact fee revenue, it has to be on that list under state law. We've got a couple of projects that we want to fund with park impact fee revenue that aren't currently on that list. So we've brought forward some amendments that the Parks Commission has reviewed and they provided their recommendation on. So now it comes to you for your recommendation, and then together with both of those recommendations, it would go to City Council. So the first one is the Heartland property. We've introduced this to you guys before, but on Ryberry Way, the big piece of property that was originally zoned for single family residential. And
hey, Mike, can you just review the park impact?
Oh, sure.
The project is on that list that's eligible.
Yeah. So we collect impact fees from all new residential development, single family, multifamily, cottage. And the idea is that that development is creating impacts to the city's park system. And so the impact fee is so that as the Kent City continues to grow, we're not decreasing the levels of service to those parks. They're not getting worse. We're able to improve the parks, create new parks, so that the level of service to our residents stays the same over time.
Is that impact fee based on the estimated cost of the project?
It's based on the type of use. So a single family home, for instance, is $4,064 for an impact fee. And that was determined based on an analysis of the things that we want to do within the city, the things that are on our plan. And what the pro rata share of that is per resident, and then we estimate the number of residents who are in a single family home, multifamily home, et cetera, and that then gets you to your calculation of what that impact fee amount is.
And I guess how do you determine how much goes to each project?
That's up to the City Council. So what we do is recommend the 6-year capital improvements plan, and then as opportunities come available, maybe there's a grant that's going to go after this 1 year, we'll take advantage of that. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that if it's on the list for 2018 that we have to do it in 2018. Mm-hmm. But it has to be on that list if we're going to use the funds. So the council will shift those years around within the 6-year plan and do projects as opportunities arise.
And that park impact fee goes into a fund?
Yeah.
And then the city council, is there a certain how much of that to use for a specific project?
Yeah. Yeah, so the First Amendment is this property right here. This is the Heartland property, and it was slated for residential development. The city, through the Trust for Public Land, has purchased the property. The city will be purchasing it back from Trust for Public Land together with King County and the Ivy Metropolitan Park District in a three-way partnership. So that'll happen through a lot of grant funding. This is where, for example, that the funds become available, you want to take action. But to make that happen, and to describe the park too, it is going to be a bicycle and trail park, trailhead park. So all of this up here is Rattlesnake Mountain and Snoqualmie Point Park, which provides a lot of recreational access for mountain biking, hiking, etc. There's no way to get there from North Bend right now, except to get on the freeway and drive up to Snoqualmie Point Park. So the idea of this park here is that it provides a direct connection for people coming from North Bend to get up onto the mountain. And this piece right here is key in that it provides an opportunity for a trailhead and just also some on-site recreational opportunities with BMX style mountain bike courses through the trees. So that is the kind of genesis of getting this onto the list so that we can use our park impact piece to help pay back the project.
What was the acquisition price? Does anybody have that?
$3 million.
And that's how many acres?
I don't remember. I think it's like 23, something like that. So the majority of that is coming through grant funds. The city's obligation is, I believe, $250,000 from park impact fee revenue.
So the private owner, the company Heartland that owned it before,
mm-hmm.
you could argue they're receiving what they might have received in the market.
Yes.
Got it.
But I believe that they probably, I believe they sold it for slightly less than what they could have otherwise got in the market because the owner was interested to make this happen.
Yep. Okay.
Mike, just to clarify, I've seen that primarily photograph. Are they going to keep the old growth there?
Yeah.
There's very specific old growth trees.
One of the key things with the acquisition was that it's also helping to protect the mountains to some Greenway corridor. So you're not driving along the freeway and looking up and seeing a bunch of new residential very development nice. On the hillside. The city has identified rural character as one of its key identifying goals. And so this preserving the forested hillsides, we see as one of the key components of rural character. So it was very important to the city, important for recreational purposes that we go after this.
So, Mike, I just have a procedural question because I thought it was just in the past year that we talked about the parks element.
Yeah.
And being that it's part of the comprehensive plan, is it just that it has to be 12 months
correct,
for the city
yeah.
council? It doesn't matter for us?
Yeah, you can't amend your comprehensive plan more than one time per year. And so by the time this gets back to council and is approved, it will be that one-year period. It was December of 2015 that
yeah.
it was last amended.
Right.
So that's project number one.
So just kind of the extension of this, I mean, building a trailhead, there's some parks there, but you make the connection to Snoqualmie Point Park. So
yeah.
the intention is to build a connector trail there.
Yeah, and the county is working on that as well.
Okay.
So they're acquiring some properties as well, so that it'll be a continuous public property all the way along Snoqualmie Point Park and onto Rattlesnake Mountain.
Okay, so will it, I mean, I know you can get up onto the mountain from Park, but will there also be a connection from this trailhead up to the peak or up to the top of the ridge?
Not straight up, because that's other private property if you're going straight up the mountain, but connecting over to the west first where you're going to get to Snoqualmie Point Park.
Okay,
and can,
the
yeah.
existing trail there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. So the second project that we're interested to address is, you can see all the images around you. City Hall proposal. The city is working on making that happen. The proposal is for a new civic complex between North Bend Way and Cedar Falls Way, between the fire station and the Public Works Building. And as a part of that, what we'd like to do is make it not just the City Hall itself with a parking lot, but to actually make it a public amenity as well, with a park-like setting. So you can see some trails in here, ideas to preserve the vegetation. We've got a retention pond that we want to incorporate into the site so that we have, for example, trails around the retention pond so that becomes an amenity, a park-like feature, having some, possibly an amphitheater for possible events, community activities, etc. And so because this is like a park, we want to be able to use parking impact fee revenue to help make this happen. And so what's in the parks capital facilities plan currently was reflecting the prior proposal for the downtown, for the city hall downtown. Park plan previously described the downtown plaza. The proposal is no longer to put city hall downtown, but to move it out here. And so the amendments that are in the parks element shift that to reflect the civic campus instead of the downtown plaza. That's basically it. And then just two other minor amendments to delete some projects in E.G. Roberts Park that have now occurred.
So we've had some good questions so far. Does anybody have any burning ones that they want to throw out there?
It's an odd connection, but I'm going to go back to the Heartland property. Mm-hmm. Probably need to change the name soon. Was there any analysis, and I'm sure there was, but I don't know what it was, that, between projects that we had already lined up and allocated that were getting bumped off the list? So what's not being done as a result of that project?
Well, that's always a balance, because the council has got to prioritize a lot of projects on this 20-year list, put a few of those on the 6-year list, and then prioritize from those. But I think the direction for this came out of the vision for the city with rural character, mm-hmm. and then also from a lot of our input when we developed the park plan in 2015. We relied on survey information from the city. We had a park survey. We had the park, Sideview Metropolitan Park District that provided their own survey. And in both of those surveys, the number one priority of residents was trails. And then the number two, I think, was open space. So those two together gave us direction that this is important to the residents.
Trails and connecting trails.
Yeah.
Right. In the 2012 study, it was 400 participants, and the highest one rated 77% indicated more walking biking trails. The four actions that the community is most willing to fund with their tax dollars are connecting walking biking trails, which 49% said yes to, developing a new indoor-outdoor family aquatic center, 40%, and renovating Sideview Community Center, 39%, and obtaining land for passive use, 34%. So I reference that because I thought that this project kind of fulfills a lot of what the community was looking for. So.
Yep.
I just have to go back to the staff findings report on page 2. Mm-hmm. Just a comment, I mentioned this before, number one, pursuant to RCW, draft ordinance was forwarded to the Department of Commerce on October 31st, 2016. Get down to number two. The SEPA determination of non-significance was issued and published in the Valley Record on November 16, 2016. I just don't think that's a good business practice to put something in there that's in the future. If it is to kind of put pressure, to do it, I understand that, but I don't think it's appropriate to put something that hasn't occurred in print like this. And maybe this doesn't go to the public.
This is a public document.
Yeah. So I think if this is a public document, and let's say we make a verbal agreement to change that date, and then we forget about our verbal conversation, and then all we can find is this piece of paper, and it didn't get submitted.
The way that I see it is this is not an adopted recommendation until the Planning Commission is done with their recommendation and signed it. I can change that to highlight it.
It makes it sound like it was issued on November 16th, 2016. I don't know if anyone... I just don't do that in my business practice.
I kind of understand what Mike's point is, and what I'd like to have is to see what they're going to put as their findings, because it gives me or anyone else here an opportunity to comment on it or add additional things that we've talked about to include in the findings. Otherwise, this is the base boilerplate. But what you're saying, I agree with. Would you be open to maybe if he could label it draft or something so it indicates it's a proposed?
I would recommend that this way you don't have to highlight. It's just to write something like on number two, instead of was issued, is anticipated.
What I'm trying to do is also keep it simple. I have very, very limited time to be able to address for any one item because I've got a lot of development review that I'm also coordinating.
Well,
I can highlight it and maybe that shows that it's future condition. And then when I go to be ready to adopt it. I just unhighlight everything, and it's ready to go.
Well, was it issued or not?
It's scheduled to be issued. It's been sent to the paper. And
or yeah, the, it's just it's. I don't believe I have the authority to make you change it. It's my recommendation. And
yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. That, that I don't think it's a good business practice to do that. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. What I'll do is highlight it, and okay. And it's that keeps it simple, so I don't have to go back and edit the document.
Your workflow. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So your findings are that everything you're saying is assuming that it happens. That's kind of what you're, that's the underlying.
Yeah, but it's not going to be the Planning Commission's recommendation that's forward on to council and that's become part of the formal record until the Planning Commission's actually made their recommendation. But I understand your comment, and I'll do that.
So, Mike, on the completed projects that you indicated, which are on page 22 of the document, it's in, I don't know if there's sections here, under H on page 22. So we lined out the E.J. Roberts completed projects.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that a citizen can find out all the completed projects? I'm just. It's kind of separate from this document, but now that I see that, like, how do I know where all my tax dollars have gone or where all these park impact fees have gone? And I'm just wondering if it's worth it to maybe put an addendum at the end of completed projects, you know, by year or something. And maybe that's just a bonus that we can think about. So I think that's helpful, especially when you're talking about public money and what it's used for. They can kind of see cumulative what they've.
Yeah. I know that there's a separate record kept because we have to track our park impact fee revenue, what came in and what it was spent on. That's not in the parks element itself. That's a more of a finance document. So you're looking for something that's more accessible.
No, I'll open up to the Planning Commission. Does that sound logical or is that...
Yeah, I like that idea. It's kind of state that as a question for me.
Would it be logical or make sense to have a listing of all the completed park projects at the end of this document so that a citizen could understand what has been completed thus far, what money has been spent where? And so
like leading up to the 6-year window or...
Yeah,
or in the past 7 years, you know. Okay. And so you could come to the next comprehensive plan and say, well, I'm looking at your document, and I could see that all the money you spent was on the east side of town. When are you going to update something on the west side? Or this park hasn't had anything for the last 7 years. Maybe it's time that we address it here. It empowers somebody to come speak to that point.
Yeah, that's good. Where would you find that, Mike, if you wanted to go and say, what have we actually done? If a citizen comes, hey, look, I can see $6 million spent in the last 15 years, where did it go? Where do they find that?
And again, it's not a very accessible document. It's finance matters. We have to show that where we used our park impact fee revenue. So they would have record of that, but it's not in a nice, clean, here's all of our projects and how much we spent.
So maybe this is an opportunity starting now going forward. As we complete projects, we create the list. Maybe not looking back 7 years, but a practice now. Delete them out of this section and move it into completed projects at the end of it.
Or then stay for the next 7 years. And then,
I was going to say, isn't that just as simple as keeping the spreadsheet alive, completed?
Yeah.
Date of completion.
That yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, delete it out of here and complete it on.
That the city does each year? Just work completed or something like that?
Not that I know of for that.
Purpose. I mean, just some ways to not make more work for you, because I think what we're suggesting is basically that. But if there was like an annual report or something of completed projects, it would be cross-referencing, but that way.
Yeah. Well, the city does provide their annual budget report that describes what they spent money on. But again, that's a big document.
Yeah.
So to Jim's point on page 26 is the table. And when I see deleted off there, I kind of think that it's removed from the list, not completed. So maybe that is the best place is we put it completed in or completed, you know, column, and you can put down a date and just call that good.
Yeah, I mean, you got the item documented as properly as it can be, right? So you just, instead of, we've got a six-year capital facilities plan here, we could have 20 years on the same spreadsheet. You just note projects that have been completed. I mean, I'm just surprised it's not actually happening already.
Yeah.
As you say, like, why isn't it actually recorded that way?
Yeah, because I would look at the budget, but there's so many numbers, I'm trying to just see really what park where.
Accounting software may actually be the simple answer to this, because you can frequently extract very easily things by certain type of coding. If it's coded in that budget for parks, it would be a simple matter to print in much accounting software. So I'm not sure which one they're using. You should just say, we want a list of this, rather than it being two separate lists. If there is a way to simply extract that.
I think the problem is, for the public's purpose, they're going to see a bunch of coded numbers and things like that, and it's not going to say
they won't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But for conversation, and maybe there's a logistical piece that I don't get, but for using this example, which is on 26, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So the first item is Meadowbrook Trail Phase 2. We've got information about it to the right. There's no ETA of completion other than what it seems to be 2017, because that's where the dollar figure sits. Would it be tough to add a column in there, the date of completion, and then everybody knows on the same spreadsheet what's coming and what's already been done?
I think from my perspective, I'd rather see the six-year plan of being the things that we want to do. And then if we want to separately say, these are our accomplishments, our successes, the last 6 years we've done the following projects, it keeps the six-year capital facilities plan a little bit more intended to its purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. Even so, it's tab, you know, files, or whatever you could produce
table
that.
Table 5A.
Then I'm almost inclined to say not to delete them, because this is part of the six-year plan. We're just making an amendment. And while it might seem like house cleaning to clean them up, it makes more sense if that's the methodology to keep them in place.
But this ties to the 20-year plan, right? I mean, there's another spreadsheet.
Yeah, the 20-year plan is our big list of wants. But as we move forward, we don't want that 20-year plan and the 6-year plan to just keep growing and growing and growing. So we got to somehow take those off so that we can refocus on what are our priorities now. But I understand also recognizing our successes and showing the public that we've been using their money wisely.
Well, you're only taking them off if they're deleted, if they're not going to be focused on, right? That's the only time, like here, there's three strikes. Four or five, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are going away completely because they're no longer of interest for whatever reason. But the stuff that stayed on the list all the way through to completion never got taken off the list. Am I missing something?
No, that's right. Unless
so they're really, it's really there still. It's just a matter of changing the dates on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, the only thing that gets taken off then is things that have been actually accomplished.
So that's opposite of what you just said.
Right. Yeah,
so these ones that are in red that are deleted, like the next version, those won't be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does something stay on the list until after its completion?
No.
I'm confused.
So it comes off once it's funded. Is that what I...
Not once it's funded, once it's done.
Done.
We want it on the list all the way through funding in case there's any question about whether or not it was on the list.
So in Excel, you can create a column and you can have four different letters assigned to that as a status, and then you can filter based on that status.
Yeah, Bob's favorite projects. Yeah.
Planned, completed, in process, hold, whatever you want to use as your vernacular. Why can't we just make it that simple? And as you have that status, you can filter a list for yourself or for this document and then complete or produce that completed spreadsheet, whether you make it available on the website or some method of the completed project.
So Mike, let me drive home why this is important. If ever we're asked from the citizens, what the heck are you doing with our money? We can go back. Let me just take a moment. Before the six-year clock started last year, these things were done in 2009, 2008, 2000, these things were all done using the same function that we're talking about using now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a way to explain. And they'll all sign up for sending us more money. But if we don't talk about what we've done... And
I understand and I agree.
So
I think I'd like to keep the six-year list focused on what's
ahead. I agree
with
you there. Yeah. I don't think you're asking to change the six-year list. You just want to say what we've done.
Maybe it's as easy. If we have one master list, you can do it however you want, but some way communicate what's mm-hmm. been completed
and
where the money, what part can... Without using financial software terms.
Yeah, that seems to add to the argument.
This could be part of the political sea change kind of experience where people actually talk about what they've done, and it's not an endless hole of cash going away.
Okay. So
I'll add that for the form that's going to come back to you guys at your next meeting.
Awesome.
Can I make it 6 years looking back to 6 years looking ahead?
Any format which you find workable that communicates information that is relevant to what park fees have been spent.
Would it be reasonable if he starts off with projects completed effective 2016?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Work back as time permits.
You're not doing homework. It's just already it's in right there.
Yeah. There's just one edit to the table.
Oh, okay.
It was on item 12, the disc golf course. We had $20,000 in as the cost estimate, and then when it carried over.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Good catch.
Good catch.
Wow. Nice work.
Okay, you're going to be on my dodgeball team.
I'm just going to ask this because it's part of my own personal interest. Given that the SciView Park survey in 2012, the second most requested item was Family Aquatic Center. None of our items seem to address that. Is there a specific...
Yeah, we don't see our role as a city in providing that resource. The Society Metropolitan Park District has a much broader base of residents to draw from. It's we're just too small.
Got it. Okay.
Could heat up a section of the river.
I'll just leave that.
So the next amendments.
I'm shaking my head.
Trail plan map of the comprehensive plan is the next one to take a look at. And everything that you see in yellow highlight there, please excuse the messiness of this, but we didn't want to provide it in GIS until you guys are done with the review and ready to make it formal. But this comes largely out of the process that we've been working with the Mountain Center Greenway Trust and City of Snoqualmie and King County to develop a coordinated approach to trail planning so that when you leave North Bend, you're hitting a trail in Snoqualmie and not a bunch of dead ends. So together with that, we've been looking at what are connections within the city of North Bend that we really want to see. And so these comments come from that group and from staff and from the Parks Commission. So you'll see where it says add trail, we want to make a connection for pedestrians and bicyclists to get up to the new Heartland site. Right now there's not a very good shoulder along Bendigo Boulevard next to the Outlet Mall, so we want to improve that so that it's more bicycle and pedestrian friendly. And then crossing under the freeway there and then getting up on Redbury Way to get into that site. That's a key connection there. Also just identifying some connections through SciView Park and then up through William H. Taylor Park. Right now there is a connection, but there's it's not actually formalized because it's on private King County property that's got a maintenance shed on it right now.
Private King County? Help me.
Well, it's King County property, but it's not for park purposes.
Okay.
So SciView's interested to buy that. It's on our Parks Capital Facilities Plan, but we also want to show it on our trail connection.
The mobile home office space thing kind of there?
The little mobile home.
Forestry has a building?
Yeah, that's SciView's building itself, but the property is not theirs.
Yeah, that's a funky setup, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's actually for sale right now, and SciView's working to purchase it.
Where's the, you said the William H. Mason?
William H. Taylor Park is the depot park. So,
the train depot.
Yeah. So part of this is sewing that connection through there and improving that corridor right there so it's a fully continuous trail all the way through Sideview and up to downtown.
Yeah, I see.
Another amendment is just to show levees, or the trail on both sides of the levee on the South Fork there. And then another one is a connection mid-block in the center part of town. So just like we've got the nice trail system over in Sideview neighborhood, that kind of goes behind the homes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want the same approach over here, where we'll have a lot of new residential large development. So this is just east of the Quadrant project, if you know where Quadrant is going in, to be able to have that connection that you're not just on a sidewalk or on a road, but have a pedestrian element as well. And I think that's basically it. One other one that we actually don't have on here, but I want to suggest your recommendation to add, and I think I'll add it for next time you see this, is a connection through across the street from Sideview Park. There's a piece of right-of-way that's owned by the City of North Bend and owned by Department of Transportation. And it's between some property that's slated for multifamily housing and the Sideview neighborhood. And it would make a great connection to connect from Cedar Falls Way to directly to Sideview Park. So I want to add that on here.
Here,
it's a lot easier to show it on the map.
So
it's this big one right here. See this undeveloped excess right away? That was originally slated to be I-90. I-90 was going to come through here. Mm-hmm. And they changed plans, but they did never, or they vacated it and then just turned it over to the county at the time, and now it's city property. So we want to make that connection. We've got the new trail that comes along Cedar Falls Way here, but there's no good pedestrian connection between that and the park.
It's undeveloped land here.
Yeah,
I was wondering what's going to happen.
Natural.
How big is it? How wide is that area?
It
looks really big on there. It is. It is.
I think it's about 150 feet. It's bigger than that. It's probably 250 feet. Just guessing looking at that.
So that's actually a significant amount of space.
Yeah.
I was just wondering one other reference point. There was Dahlgren Park mentioned in some of the documents. Or Dahlgren family?
Yeah, so that's... This is just the trail plan map, so it doesn't show all the park features, but that one is right at the end of this kind of triangle right here. This is the Dahlgren property. It's the Quan Valley Trail, North Bend Way.
This is where the mules are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the very eastern part of that, I think it's 1.5 acres. This property owner is via this overlay district, which provides, it's called the Tanner Lighting Master Plan Overlay District. So in exchange for being allowed to do some multifamily and other uses that are not otherwise allowed in the underlying zone, this property owner has to dedicate this corner of his property for a public park and provide an access point into the larger King County Tanner Landing Park, which will provide more direct white water access.
I think, that is good to know that that's there's one comment though related to that. Probably not going to change from this meeting. It was like in the spray park feature. It said possibly that site for a spray park, and I just thought that was. I'm personally not too keen on the idea of a spray park when we have all these forks or rivers around, especially right there, like next to the river. I just thought it's kind of inappropriate.
Spray park.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, some sort of fountain that kids splash through or something.
I think it's more geared for toddlers that you don't want in the river system, but yeah.
And that's that was, again, based on public input, so.
Mm-hmm. That location, I guess, and I know it's not, nothing's probably going to change in this meeting, but just out of place there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always thought they'd end up doing something like that at Sideview.
Mm-hmm. A rope and a life jacket.
Yeah, we talked with Travis from Sideview. He was interested in that location because Sideview itself is pretty full already. Mm-hmm. So that one of the ideas was that would be a future expansion in Sideview Park.
Mike, do you know how many apartments are going to go in there?
What is it? I think it's 40-some.
This is
that overlay that he just pointed to?
Oh, down there. Okay.
I don't know if the Parks Commission's gotten onto this or not. By the way, this has been a 20-year excitement thing for me, right up there with cottage homes almost. Trails connecting throughout the city. Mm-hmm. We had all these crazy railroad grades, and I-90 decided that, no, we're not going to do it. And we have all this open space that's kind of like perfect for trails.
Yeah.
Piece that every city struggles with is making sure they're all connected. Mm-hmm. It's like, who wants a beautiful trail that stops somewhere?
Right.
So in this process, and I know you are paying attention, is there any way to, I'm going to answer my own question, if we were to highlight existing trails, proposed trails, in a way that's as clear as our zoning colors, seems to me we'd have a constant focus on the target.
That's something that I was thinking about with this map. It's almost got too much on it, and it might be nice to show it the missing links more clearly.
Yep.
I'm not sure how I would do that.
When King County did most of their, I believe it was called Rails to Trails, that was a term used across the country. Mm-hmm. Their Lake Sammamish was an area that met pretty big loggerheads, because you were crossing private property by the time people decided there was actually going to be a trail. When people bought their land and built their homes, it was a right-of-way that the railroad companies owned, and nobody paid attention. Well, when the conversion happened to Rails to Trails, it was all of a sudden these private landowners were like, I don't want people driving through my backyard or my front yard in that case. So I just want to make sure we're catching into that before we have lots of new homes.
Yeah.
More than
right. Well, we've certainly got them on the map, and we've had them on the map. And as development occurs, what our regulations require is that if it's shown on the trail plan map and it's on your property, you have to develop that segment as a part of your plat.
Okay.
So it slowly happens over time. It's the difficult part is the missing links that are like on levees and things like that are in private property.
So from the... I have some experience in Florida, Colorado, and Sammamish. And one of the things that people came out of some of those meetings was, if you were to approach a current property owner in the city of North Bend who says, I don't really want the trail. There was an approach that was pretty successful. It basically said you would give the current owner a fee or an amount of money to document on title that when their property sells, then that's going to be acknowledged on title as a right-of-way. So you're not taking it away from them now. You're not going to worry about it. Yeah, whatever the property transfer happens, you might have to pay for that right now just to have them sign off on the legal definition of it and have it be recorded. Mm-hmm. But when that property sells, next thing you know, it's much easier conversation. Mm-hmm. And that helps to kind of break the logjam for getting access.
Great suggestion.
And it avoids losing something just by happenstance of missing when it goes up.
Yeah. I spent millions of dollars to buy, 5 by 50 square foot pieces of land along Lake Sammamish to connect the trail. Mm-hmm. So,
Mike, in your scenario, that developer who has to create that trail, do they get any offset with the park impact fees that they pay?
Not the park impact fees, but in terms of their on-site mitigation requirements. So you also have to provide 5% of your net area of your subdivision, as long as you're over 30 units. And then if you're doing the trail, that can be
used
part of
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Just in your highlighting, the south to Rattlesnake Lake and Iron Horse State Park, that solid trail, that's the existing trail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all that, when you're talking about the cleanup, will be better colored and clear. So I'm just, whatever colors you use, I don't care. It just kind of looks more like an actual road to me, I guess is all I want to say.
So it changes the color on the existing. Part of the problem is just that when it goes through the copy machine, it washes everything out.
Sure.
It's a lot bolder than the original. I've got the original, if you want to see if it looks bright enough. How it looks online.
Does the office copy machine scan to thumb drive?
Not that I know of. I can put a PDF on it.
The thing I was thinking about, you could, if we had an overhead for you, you could just plug it in.
No, it's much clearer, though. So that's what it actually looks like if it's not copied.
Yeah. Well, that's the trail thing's exciting.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's huge return for the investment. More than most anything else you can put your finger on.
And we're working, Sideview Metropolitan Park District, based on their survey results, is also very interested to make these connections happen. And so city is focusing on the things that are inside city limits, and they're focusing on the things that are just outside city limits that are also on our map. So they're working on acquiring portions of the levee that, like the Shamrock Park corner, and then back behind the hotel area.
Yep.
So they're putting that together as well to try to get those connections.
Mike, I didn't see anywhere over the next 20 years that there's any plans for a off-leash dog park, for example, because that's a style of park. And as we grow, people do have animals. We're keeping them on leash. That's a challenge for a lot of people. I'll just say that straight up. So yeah. See anything that talked into that at all.
I'll echo your concerns because the Tanner Landing Park has these great open spaces, but you must keep your dog on a leash there.
Yeah.
There have been some King County enforcement that
that we could certainly add that to the 20-year plan. Yeah.
So it's an enticing environment, and people tend to just
there's hardly anybody there.
Yeah.
So is that consensus?
Yeah.
The one in Snoqualmie is incredibly popular.
Yeah.
It is, but as we grow, that's going to be maxed out.
It's already, I think, maxed out based on the
muddy too.
It's useless for a portion of the year, true.
Yeah. Good idea.
Any other thoughts or comments? Great discussion, everybody.
Yeah, I'm inclined to support our planning commission and move this along.
Is there
we have that public hearing at our next meeting, which is December 8th.
Yeah.
There won't be any other planning commission meetings for this month in light of the Thanksgiving holiday, so all enjoy. Mike, thank you for answering so many questions and great answers.
Exciting.
Anything for good of the order?
I had two questions. I remember one of them. The explosion site.
Yeah.
Phoenix Plaza.
Yes. Phoenix Plaza. It still looks like the
explosion site.
It's under review.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, review takes a long time.
Yeah.
The staff has to have their time to get comments, and then the applicant has to get their consultants all back on it. And
any projected timeline for?
I think they're close. I think they're really close. Okay. I'm not the reviewer on that project, so I don't know. But
But construction wouldn't start until spring.
It could be in the winter.
Yeah.
It just depends on the conditions of that particular site. Like the hotel is not a place to work in the winter, but that one might be suitable.
Is there any update to the La Quinta potential project?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Not
that
Marriott, Fairfield.
There's two different hotels.
Yeah. That one's a pre-application. I don't even know who we have.
Two vying for it or two separate hotels?
Two separate sites. It's the Royce property up at Exit 31.
The one by Safeway.
Okay.
The other one is over by the exit. Yeah.
The Snowbend Short Plaza.
Yeah.
The other question I was wondering, have we been given any idea from the City Council on what they're going to look for from us with the moratorium?
Not yet.
And it was very recent, but I wasn't sure if...
What's the latest?
The council is going to do a retreat in January where they're formulating more of their direction and their vision for land use. And so they'll be providing you guys, including dockets that we received, they'll be providing you guys with some direction on things that they'd like you to take up and review in the next year.
Because right now it's a 6 month. Mm-hmm. Any new permits?
Yeah.
Okay. 6 months effective when?
It is effective on cottages within the neighborhood business and cottages and zones other than cottage residential.
So dial that in for me for as far as anything else that could happen. Somebody's thinking about permits and that have been, things have been applied for, those are stopped.
If they have a complete application, it's not stopped.
Okay. So if I look out 6 months, assuming the economy says they should build, what are we building by the amount of buildings?
So that moratorium is just on cottages.
Right.
Everything else is.
Maybe try it another way. So what I'm trying to do is feel for. So here we are in the middle of 2017. Mm-hmm. Is it going to feel like nothing's going on?
No, it's going to feel extremely crazy. There's a lot of things that are just about to break ground.
Okay. And
you're going to see a lot of construction.
So that'll drive us on through. That'll drive the feeling on through the moratorium, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, the moratorium is a very, very small aspect of the market.
That was my concern. You get off the freeway. Here we are, North Bend again, sitting still because of some moratorium. So that's not going to happen here. Okay.
Mike, I'm just going to ask I or somebody from the Planning Commission be invited to the retreat in January.
I'll pass along that request.
Okay.
Could I request a new and updated project building memo so that you guys have put that out in the past at the next meeting, if you're able
to? That's up to our building or our permit technician. He prepares that at the discretion of the council committee. So if they get it, then we send it on to you guys.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, I know we got it sometimes.
We get it once a month generally, and it was a request that I made to Tom because he said that CED wasn't meeting regularly, that the Planning Commission does, so I asked him to at least prepare the copy for our review. And that just helps keep us informed of what is being built. And I guess in my mind, I'm always formulating, well, are we meeting the need of a diverse housing stock or whatever your questions that you're trying to answer, for the next comprehensive plan update. I think it's helpful.
Yeah. So when he does prepare those, we'll forward those on to you. I don't think there's been one recently, but there should be another council committee meeting coming up. So
sorry, I don't have my phone. Would that be in our last meeting packet, I think, or the one before that?
2 ago.
Generally once a month, unless we miss the CED committee meeting.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if we can look in our email and find it.
From prior meetings, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If that helps you.
Or no, actually, I don't think that is not generally included in the emailed packet.
It's not consistent.
Sounds like the timing would be right to get it in December, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe it's easier just to ask Tom, or you could email it out to the Planning Commission, the last one that he did.
Yeah.
Tom's a nice guy. You can go chat with him anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else for good of the order? Okay. So, again, no more meetings for the month of November. Enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. We meet next December 8th, where we'll have a public hearing on the parks element and hopefully get in... introduction to cottage housing. I understand also that the procedures I drafted updates to are with the attorney, and so hopefully we'll get those back for the December meeting.
Cool.
Anything?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. Motion by Commissioner Lucky. Second by Commissioner Von Trapp. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned at 7:53.
Anybody care for some jazz and Ritz crackers?
Sure.